Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Round one of the basketball playoffs is here, and regardless of whether or not you're taking Boston, Miami, Milwaukee, or Minnesota to win the championship, BetOnline has you covered with all the odds, props, promos, and parlays you need for the entire two-month basketball playoffs. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, with your first deposit, with the link in the description to this episode, and you can pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, however and whenever you may be listening, thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast. Live on the Bleav Podcast Network, except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast. Podcasts aren't live. Podcasts are on demand whenever and however you so choose. Thanks for joining us, however and whenever you might be listening. It is a Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, according to my count. All twos and fours across the board. 4242024. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. Maybe it's Thursday, maybe it's Friday, however and whenever you might be listening, but we still appreciate that you're stopping in however and whenever you might be listening. It is also episode number 1397 of the Take It Easy podcast. Next week, we're going to hit 1,400 episodes in the nearly five-year-long history of this show. Used to be Monday through Friday, is now Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Also, we're going to have a bonus episode for the NFL draft coming up on Friday morning, Thursday night. Be on the lookout for that and all the content next week that inches us closer to reaching a giant milestone in this podcast history, which is 250,000 downloads in the history of the Take It Easy podcast. We're almost at that number. We are almost at 250,000 downloads in the history of the Take It Easy podcast. 250,000. Today on the show, we're going back to the NBA, and we're going to build on a topic that we actually discussed at the beginning of Monday's episode, which is the Philadelphia 76ers MVP superstar Joel Embiid playing through a torn meniscus. And you might have heard the little like 5-minute segment that we did Monday talking about the game ones of the NBA playoffs, and the thing that we kept rehashing repeatedly was Joel Embiid has a torn meniscus. They told us it was a torn meniscus. And then Shams had to kind of redact his statement because the Sixers didn't want it out there that he had a torn meniscus, because torn meniscus requires season-ending surgery. And what they did for Embiid was temporary surgery that kept him out long enough to ruin his chances of winning the NBA MVP, but good enough to theoretically get him back in time for the playoffs, despite the fact that he is clearly a lesser version of Joel Embiid during the NBA playoffs. And after we did that podcast Monday morning, the Sixers and the Knicks played game two of that series on Monday night in New York. It's the 7-2 in the East, and the 76ers did as well as they could have given the circumstances. Tyrese Maxey had 35 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. Basically a triple-double from the guy who's going to win most improved player in the league this year. If you've seen how the media who have released their votes have voted so far, it is pretty unanimous that Tyrese Maxey is going to win most improved player, as he made the All-Star in the East. Although we did do that whole thing on Monday where we said Tyrese Maxey is an All-Star in the East that wouldn't have been an All-Star in the West. Like, the model you might be looking for with Tyrese Maxey is like a Jamal Murray, which, hey, I wonder what Jamal Murray did on Monday in that Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Lakers series. But Tyrese Maxey is kind of one of those guys where I'm like, yeah, he's a much better player than they thought he would be, but he's also like an Eastern Conference All-Star that probably wouldn't have been an All-Star in the Western Conference. And like within 24 hours of me saying that sentence, Tyrese Maxey had 35, 10, and 9 in a game 2 in New York that the Sixers kind of had to win to keep that series alive as they went back to Philadelphia. And Joel Embiid played 39 minutes, had 34 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. So if you're taking the totals of their two superstars, which are their superstar Joel Embiid and their all-star Tyrese Maxey, if you take the numbers of that for the Sixers, they had, against the New York Knicks, 69 points, 19 rebounds, 16 assists between those two players. If you take the totals from the Knicks' two best players, which were Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, they came out to, and by the way, Josh Hart played 48 minutes, played the entire game. The minutes between Brunson and Hart, let's see, is 86. The minutes between Embiid and Maxey is 83. So, you know, the Knicks had a few more minutes played than those two. But you take the numbers of Brunson and Hart, combined points, 45. Combined points for Embiid and Maxey, 69. That's plus 23. Rebounds, Hart and Brunson had 23. Maxey, Embiid, 19. Knicks had more rebounds. Assists, Josh Hart, 3. Brunson, 6. That adds up to 9. Tyrese Maxey had 10 assists by himself before you factor in Joel Embiid with the 6, adds up to 16. So they were plus 23 in points, minus 3 in rebounds, and plus 7 in the assist column just between the two star players for the 76ers and the New York Knicks. And the results at the end of that game were the 76ers leading by 5 with 28 seconds left to play. And the Sixers fumbled the bag hard because the Knicks, down 5, missed a shot that would have put them within 2, got an offensive rebound, Brunson hits a 3-pointer, the Sixers get the ball, it's a total scramble drill on the inbound pass, there's people scrambling on the floor, Nick Nurse is trying to call for a timeout, the Sixers want a foul, but I guess no one has clear-cut possession, ball ends up rolling into the hands of Josh Hart, they get the ball back, and they hit a go-ahead 3-pointer with 8 seconds left to play. And the 76ers don't, or I think it was like actually 11 seconds left to play. Because then with 8 seconds left to play, they foul OG Anunoby after a Sixer miss. And Anunoby hits 2 free throws. And then the Sixers don't get a chance to win it at the end. And they squander a 5-point lead in the final 30 seconds of that game. And it was pretty spectacular, if not then wiped out by the what was a crazy ass finish to the end of that Lakers and Nuggets game as well, that somehow kind of wiped out just how chaotic the end of that Sixers-Knicks game was. Embiid got off the three-pointer at the end of the game, but the Sixers still lost by three. And I bring all of this up to say that the Philadelphia 76ers, who lost that game where they were up 5 points with 28 seconds left to play, that was a brutal, brutal way for them to lose that, given the fact that the Philadelphia 76ers don't really know what comes next after this season. And the reason I say that I don't know what comes next for the Philadelphia 76ers is this. The Philadelphia 76ers, other than Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and Paul Reed, like, everyone else is a free agent. Like, basically everyone else is a free agent at the end of this season. Additionally, if we go back the six calendar years that we've done this podcast, we've been doing this podcast for five NBA postseasons, but we started the podcast in the summer of 2019, which was right after the end of that NBA playoff run. If we go back the 6 years that we've been doing this podcast, the Philadelphia 76ers have had five different number two options playing alongside Joel Embiid in those 6 years, and not a single one has resulted in a run deeper than the second round of the playoffs. And now Joel Embiid has been in the prime of his career, like in the prime window of championship contention, longer than he wasn't. Like, for all of the talk about the process and the years of losing for the 76ers, all the years of Embiid missing years with injury or playing 38 games in his first three seasons, all the development and the hope and the general manager changes, this is the sixth year the Sixers championship window has been quote unquote open. And NBA players' primes just simply don't last that long. We're starting to see it with Joel Embiid's injury, which again we'll get to in a second. But first, in the 6 years that the Sixers' championship window has been open, they've had five different number twos play alongside Joel Embiid. And now with all their ample cap space, they're talking about bringing in Paul George as a number two or a number three, which would signal six different number twos that they've brought in alongside Joel Embiid over the last seven playoff runs. Because in 2019, the number two offensive scoring option was Jimmy Butler. They traded Robert Covington and Dario Saric and draft picks, fundamental pieces of the process, for one playoff run with Jimmy Butler. They traded for 1 year of Jimmy Butler, and then they traded some other pieces to the Clippers and draft picks for Tobias Harris. And that was their go-to. It was Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons, who was an all-NBA defensive player but was not the go-to second scoring option. And maybe was the second best player on that team in 2019, which it's funny to think about the time when Ben Simmons was a better player than Jimmy Butler, arguably. But Jimmy Butler was the go-to number two scoring option on that Philadelphia 76er team in 2019 that came within a Kawhi Leonard quadruple bounce away from winning that series. And maybe, just maybe, would have beaten the Milwaukee Bucks in the 2019 Eastern Conference Finals. But they were a young team. Jimmy Butler was their number two scoring option. And then they let Jimmy Butler walk in free agency and gave Tobias Harris $180 million. Which prompted the Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris over me sound in 2022 that I love so much. Tobias Harris over me? Fuck that. Tobias Harris over me. After Miami eliminated Philly in 2022. So it was Jimmy Butler. Then in 2020, Ben Simmons was undoubtedly the second best player on that team. But if you remember, in the bubble playoffs, Ben Simmons missed the entire postseason in the bubble because of injury. The number two on that team was probably Tobias Harris. But based on the numbers, if you go to the basketball reference page for the 2020 76ers, was probably Josh Richardson. But for the sake of conversation, let's say number two on the 2020 Sixers playoff team was Tobias Harris. Then you go to 2021, They fire Brett Brown. They bring in Doc Rivers. Number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Embiid finishes second for MVP behind Jokic, despite the fact that I believe that was the year that Jokic and the Nuggets got swept by the Suns in the second round of the playoffs. Sixers, number one seed. It's Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons reaching their potential. Number one regular season team. Doc Rivers comes in, and it's the change they need. Getting Brett Brown out of there. The coach who was hired as part of the process, and I give Brett Brown all the credit in the world. We've talked about this for years. Coach rarely ever gets the chance to see the whole process through. That when they're hired, they are usually hired because they have no better options on the table. And credit to Brett Brown, he was well-liked enough that he got to see years of the process through into 2020. He got all the way through the bubble year before he got fired. But 2021, number one seed, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, this was the vision, this was the process, this is what it was going to be. They were the number one seed, they drew the Hawks in the second round, and it was the biggest collapse that any of us have seen in the last decade of NBA playoff basketball. Like, the odds of the 76ers losing that series to the Hawks was like 1 in 770. I used to know what the number was, but like, the odds that they would blow a 25-point second-half lead in what I believe was Game 4 of that series, and the odds that they would blow a 22-point lead in Game 7 against Atlanta on their home floor, where Ben Simmons passed up an open layup where Trae Young was trailing to guard him. The odds that they would lose both of those games was like 1 in 770, and they should have won that series in 5 or 6 games. It was the best Sixer team that they have had of any of the six, and they lost to the Atlanta Hawks in one of the... it is still the biggest playoff upset the NBA has seen in the last 10 years, and that includes a playoff series last year where an 8 seed beat a 1 seed. Like, even if Giannis had been healthy, the Heat probably still would have won in 5 games last year, and it was not as big of an upset as that Hawks team beating that 76ers team in the 2021 playoff. And then you go to 2022, Ben Simmons is never played another game with the Sixers after that Game 7, held out for 6 months, and then they got James Harden from Brooklyn. And now you have James Harden as the centerpiece of that playoff team, and they got smoked out in the playoffs by the number one seed Miami Heat. Everyone was like, oh, the Harden fit didn't work, but there's still another year to go. And then Embiid wins the MVP in 2023. Harden's the true number two. He put the team on his back in those second round games against Boston that they won. Game one in Boston, game four in Philadelphia. Harden won those games for the Philadelphia 76ers, and they still lost in a Game 7 in the second round against Boston, where they had a 3-2 lead, and the final five quarters of that series were an absolute abomination. And this has all happened within the time span of this podcast history. They have gone through now 5 different number twos paired alongside Joel Embiid. And they're about to have number 6 next year when they inevitably lose this series to the New York Knicks. And look, we're recording this Tuesday evening going into Wednesday morning. I don't know what will happen. Game 3 of that series is on Thursday. Game 4 of that series is on Sunday. I presume we'll come back Monday and recap the NBA playoffs at large. So let's operate under the assumption that the Sixers win one of two games in Philadelphia against the New York Knicks. They're down 3-1. It's not a game set match, but you got to win game 5 and game 7 in New York. Or maybe they win both games in Philadelphia and then they only have to win one game in New York, but it's still a tall task for them to accomplish, because like I said earlier, they got 69 points, 19 rebounds, and 16 assists from Embiid and Maxey, and they still threw that game away in the final 30 seconds against the New York Knicks. And what I'm so intrigued by with Philadelphia is this. This is their fifth different number two option around Embiid in the 6 years that their championship window is open. Those seasons have resulted in losing Game 7 on the Kawhi double doink bounce, or quadruple doink bounce in 2019. 2020, they lost in the first round of the playoffs, but you know, they had kind of thrown the season away by that point. Brown was going to get fired. Simmons had been shut down for the year. Number one seed that loses in the second round in 2021. number 4 seed that loses in the second round in 2022, number 3 seed that loses in the second round in 2023, and right now number 7 seed that will probably lose in the first round against the New York Knicks. And I look at every single one of those teams, and I say, based on the number 2 option that they chose around Joel Embiid, they kind of performed to about the skill level of the number 2. And that's what I say this. Jimmy Butler, who's the best player after leaving Philadelphia, became the best player on a team that won multiple Eastern Conference championships. Jimmy Butler took them within one game of the Eastern Conference Finals, which is tied for the furthest they advanced at any point in this run with Joel Embiid. In 2020, they lost Ben Simmons, and it was Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson as the number 2s, and they got smoked out in the first round of the playoffs. You know, the coach was getting fired, whatever. Tobias Harris is your number 2 with an MVP caliber player, a generational superstar in his prime. You're going to lose in the second round. Ben Simmons as your second best player to a generational superstar, you lose in the second round in one of the most catastrophic upsets. James Harden as your number 2 option, couple losses in the second round of the playoffs. One in, I believe, 6 games and one in 7 games. Just a couple second round losses with a mid-30s James Harden as your number 2 around Joel Embiid. They lost both times. And now with Tyrese Maxey as your number 2, you are about the 4th or 5th best team in the Eastern Conference on paper. You're the 7 seed. But, you know, with health, you're about the 4th or 5th best team in the East. It just happened to be that you drew number 2 New York in the first round playoff series just because of injuries. But, like, if you put this 76er team against any of the teams 4 through 6, they're favored in that series. Against the Magic, against the Cavs, against the Pacers. Yeah, Sixers are favored in every single one of those games in that series. And by the way, in a one game to play-in round, they beat the Miami Heat. So I'd argue they're better this year than this year's construction of the Miami Heat team with or without Jimmy Butler. I'd say this 76er team is better than this year's Miami Heat team. The only teams that I would say I'm not certain Philadelphia is better than are Boston, Milwaukee, and New York. And oh, by the way, they're down 2-0 against New York right now and probably on their way to losing that playoff series. But even if they're the 4th best team in the East, that's kind of where they've stood pat at for most of the last 6 years. Despite the fact that Joel Embiid is, for all intents and purposes, one of the top 4 players in the Eastern Conference at every single step along the way. Like, I would argue even in 2019, which was when Embiid was 25 years old, he had missed 2 seasons with injury, he was just entering his prime, I would argue even that Joel Embiid was a top 4 player in the Eastern Conference that season. Because if I remember correctly, the Eastern Conference standings, that this was the year after LeBron had just left the East, and this was when DeMar DeRozan had just been traded to the Spurs. I would argue the best players in the East that year were Giannis, Kawhi, Embiid. I'm probably forgetting someone, but what we can do is go to NBA MVP voting 2019 to try and verify this exact point. And if I go to the basketball reference for MVP finalists 2019, you would have Giannis winning the award, Milwaukee. Second place, Harden, Houston. That's West. Third place, Paul George, OKC. West. Fourth place, Jokic, Denver. That's West. Fifth place, Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. West. Sixth place, Damian Lillard, Portland. And then number 7, Joel Embiid, Philadelphia 76ers. In fact, of the people who received votes, which is 12 people, 12 people received any kind of vote first through fifth. Of the 12 receiving votes people, there are only 3 in the Eastern Conference. It's Giannis, it's Embiid, and it's Mr. Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. So yeah, like every single step along the way, Joel Embiid has been the 3rd best player, at least the top 3 player in the Eastern Conference, and his team has consistently been the 4th best team in the Eastern Conference. And I say consistently the 4th best team in the Eastern Conference because in the last 6 seasons, 3 different teams have won the Eastern Conference. 4. but Toronto was kind of a one-off. Let's just say the last 5 years. Last 5 years, three different teams have won the Eastern Conference. It's Miami twice. It's Milwaukee once. It's Boston once. And I'm still pretty certain the Eastern Conference Finals this year are going to be Milwaukee against Boston. So it's going to be some, of the last 5 years, your Eastern Conference champions have been Miami, Boston, or Milwaukee. And each of the last three of the last four seasons, your Eastern Conference Finals have been Milwaukee against Boston. And in each of those 3 years, Philadelphia got bounced by either Milwaukee or Boston, despite the fact that Joel Embiid is the best player in every single one of those series. Now, in 2020, again, they played Boston. Tobias Harris was their second best player. In 2022, when they lost to Miami, it was the first year of James Harden. Last year, when they lost to Boston, it was the maybe best version of the Sixers we've had so far because Joel Embiid was that MVP level of good, and they were up 3-2 and winning going into the fourth quarter of Game 6 at home to close out the Boston Celtics. And they played five crap quarters, lost the series to Boston, and then James Harden never played another game with the Philadelphia 76ers. I say all of that to say this. If your superstar player for 6 years has been a top three player in the conference or a top two player in the conference, and he has never been a top two team in the conference, then the issue is everything else. Everything else is the problem. Because that player, even if he has a dip in production in the playoff, should still be able to fall ass backwards into at least a top two finish in the conference, or a top three finish in the conference. And granted, they've had some crappy luck in terms of the 2019 team, the 2021 team, and the 2023 team. All three of those teams came within one game of advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. And every single time they came up short. I can't think of another team that has come closer to achieving falling ass backwards into a conference championship than the Philadelphia 76ers. Like, it's incredible that they have had three Game 7s in the second round of the playoffs. First of all, the fact that they were even in three Game 7s in the Eastern Conference Finals is incredible, because if you go back and look example by example, it's 2019 against Toronto. Okay, that one goes to Game 7. It's a 3-2, and they were tied in the final seconds. They were tied when the clock hit zero, and then Kawhi's quadruple bounce knocked him out. 2023, like I said, three seed versus a two seed. Embiid and Harden versus Tatum and Brown and Smart and the Celtics that were the defending Eastern Conference champions. Okay, you could see that one coming true. 2021, that one, no, like, they just fucked that one up. The year they went to Game 7 against the Hawks, they should have never been in Game 7 against the Hawks and given Kevin Huerter a chance to put that series to bed with a 20-plus point collapse in the second half of that game. Just completely should never have happened. But they were in three Game 7s in the first place, and they lost every single one in three distinctly different fashions. It was heartbreak of 2019 with the Kawhi quadruple bounce. It was blowing a 20-point lead at home in 2021 when you were clearly the better team in what is still the biggest playoff upset I have seen in the last decade. And then 2023, where you have them just getting completely run out the building by the Celtics. Like, Tatum had a 50-point game. They were down 40. They're like, just absolutely blown out of the building. No one has come closer and come up shorter than the Philadelphia 76ers. And now what you are seeing is a Sixer team that, with Tyrese Maxey as their number two, and again, Tyrese Maxey is going to win Most Improved Player this year. Tyrese Maxey is going to be an all-star in the East for years to come, even though I'd say, again, if Jamal Murray were switched for Tyrese Maxey, the Sixers would be a better team. But Jamal Murray's never made an all-star team, and Tyrese Maxey just made an all-star team in the East. If De'Aaron Fox switch places with Tyrese Maxey, the Sixers are about the same team. Probably a little bit better. But De'Aaron Fox has never made an all-star team in the West, apart from being an injury replacement last year. But he's never been named a true all-star in the West. Meanwhile, Tyrese Maxey was just an all-star in the East. It's no disrespect to Tyrese Maxey. Just pointing those things out. That Tyrese Maxey is kind of in that tier four of NBA star, which is like, eh, he's kind of a fringe all-star. He's maybe a top 25 player. And the Sixers think that he's maybe a top 25 player because the Sixers are looking at all this cap space they got this offseason and saying, what if we go get Paul George and make him the number two? Or maybe they make Paul George the number three because, you know, Paul George is in his 30s and there's this weird thing with Paul George where he's been a number two in the playoffs, he struggles, but when he's a number three, he's really good, and when he's a number one, he's excellent because he's Paul George, and there's this weird thing with Paul George. But they're saying, let's go out and get Paul George and make him our number two and have Tyrese Maxey be our number three. But Philadelphia is probably going to lose this series now to the Knicks. And I say probably going to lose this playoff series to the Knicks because you're asking Joel Embiid on a torn meniscus to win 4 out of 5 games, 2 of which you have to play in New York. Against a team that is equally good, if not better than you, this season. At the very least, they're deeper. At the very least, the Knicks are a deeper team than the Philadelphia 76ers are. And this season was a bit of a wash for the 76ers in the first place because of how little they got in return on the James Harden trade. Like, looking at their playoff rotation, I know how important Nick Batum was to winning that play-in game against the Heat. I watched him hit 6 3-pointers. It was kind of wild. But if you look at the rotation pieces for the Sixers right now, what they have from James Harden's trade playing playoff minutes are Nick Batum and Buddy Hield, who they got at the trade deadline in exchange for Marcus Morris, who was acquired in the trade, and some second-round draft picks. And those two players in that game yesterday against the Knicks that they threw away in the final 30 seconds, they had 8 points. So in exchange for James Harden, you are getting 8 points in a playoff game where Maxey and Embiid gave you 69, 19, and 16 between the two of them. And the thing that they got in exchange for Harden that I think is a little bit underrated is cap space and future draft picks. Because the Sixers get the first round pick from the Clippers in 2028. And they get the right to swap picks with them in 2029 out of the deal. But the Philadelphia 76ers can't be helped this year because you can't put cap space in 2025 on the floor against the New York Knicks down 0-2. And it's fine that you can't put cap space against the New York Knicks down 0-2 in the game right now. That's just the best deal they got for Harden. The deal they got was future first and a pick swap that they can then use to acquire more players down the line. It's fine that that's what they ended up with. They're going to go try and poach Paul George away from the Clippers this offseason and try and make it all better. But the thing that I will point out here is this. This is the fifth different number two option they've had in 6 years with Joel Embiid. And for the first time in 6 years, Joel Embiid is no longer one of the three best players in the Eastern Conference, potentially. Not going to say definitively, potentially. Because the Sixers are still a top four team in the Eastern Conference right now. If you just made me list who the best teams in the East are right now, it would be Boston in a tier above themselves in tier one, then a second tier of Milwaukee, and then a third tier of Philadelphia and New York. And then you have your Clevelands, your Orlandos, your Indianas, your Miamis, and everyone else, you know, shuffling in down the line. This is the first time that Embiid is maybe not going to be a top three player in the East next year. And again, that's going to require a little bit of reshuffling, little bit of projection. But there is a world where Joel Embiid comes back post-meniscus injury at age 31 and might not be a top three player in the Eastern Conference. Again, take some projection of players like Tatum. Take some projection of players like Brunson. Take some projection of trades that are going to be made this offseason from west to east. But it could be a situation where Embiid is not one of the three best players in the Eastern Conference. And that's interesting to think about, because if you bring in a Paul George or even a Klay Thompson or someone just to kind of buoy support a little bit better than Nick Batum and Buddy Hield, you are banking on Joel Embiid's continued success and health. And that's something that's going to be tough to bet on going into his early 30s, when the physical primes of basketball players, especially 7 foot tall basketball players, don't typically extend that long. Look at what's going on with Giannis right now. Giannis is still a top five player in the league and a top three player in the Eastern Conference. But it's been about 3 years since Giannis was the best player in the East, and the Milwaukee Bucks championship window is just about closing, because they made the all-in move for Damian Lillard, and it inadvertently made the Boston Celtics significantly better than them. To the point where I still think if Giannis is healthy enough to come back for the second round series against the Knicks, even just part of the series, doesn't even have to be the whole series, Milwaukee with Damian Lillard and Giannis giving them something can beat the New York Knicks in a 7-game series. Absolutely. Dame by himself can almost get there. Like, I think it would be a 6 or 7-game series with just Dame and Middleton and Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis and some of the other guys on that team. But, like, if they just get some... if Giannis just gives them a game where his presence is the difference between a Knicks win and a Knicks loss, yeah, they will win that series. They will be able to beat the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks are not unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination. But when Milwaukee gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to need Giannis to even make it 6 games against Boston. And so this is the tough place where you find yourself if you're Philadelphia, and how you fit into this whole picture is everyone's chasing Boston, and Boston's probably going to win the East, and Milwaukee is still better than you. Giannis is still a top five player in the East, but that window is closing ever so slightly for the Milwaukee Bucks. But the thing that's always been there is Giannis and Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. That's been the thing that's always there. And that's always been good enough to get them to top three in the East, and under the best of circumstances has been good enough to win an NBA championship. The only consistent presence for the 76ers is Joel Embiid. And Tyrese Maxey has helped keep him a little bit younger, but Tyrese Maxey about to get bounced in the first round as the number two with Joel Embiid. And this is the first time Joel Embiid's been bounced in the first round since Tobias Harris was his running mate back in 2020. And again, they just got a shitty draw in the playoff matchups. But if you go back and look at the teams of the last 6 years, that Sixer team, it's safe to say in 2019, that Sixer team was the third best team in the East, right? Because they came within a play of making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Safe to say third best team in the East. 2020, they stunk. 2021, probably the second best team in the East, if not the best team in the East. They probably still lose to Milwaukee and Brooklyn anyways, but they're either the second or third best team in the East, despite the fact that they're the number one seed and lose in the second round. Call them the third best team. 2022, call them the third best team again, because remember, it was Miami, Boston. I guess they were the fourth best team because Milwaukee. They were the four seed in 2021. Or sorry, the four seed in 2022. The third seed last year. And this year, they are probably the fourth best team in the East behind the Knicks, Milwaukee, and Boston. There's no team other than those three I can definitively say is better than the 76ers. Even with a healthy Embiid, sorry Tyrese Maxey, but like, you're the running mate of the worst team since 2020 for the Sixers. And that's just a tough break, man, because Tyrese Maxey is awesome. And I'm not trying to sound like a Tyrese Maxey hater, but Tyrese Maxey ain't the number two that's going to make the 76ers a top two, fall ass backwards into being a top two team in the Eastern Conference. Because the Sixers have been consistently for the last 5 years, when you take the sum of their parts as a whole and spit it out, consistently the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. And this year, even though they're the 7 seed, they are the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. They are playing to what their standards have been. They are the fourth best team in the East. They drew the Knicks, who are better than them in a first round matchup, and the Knicks are going out and beating them. And why the future seems so uncertain after this year is you can't promise health for Joel Embiid after year 11. Like, year 8 or year 9 is when you stop guaranteeing health for a lot of these guys, and Joel Embiid has reached that point where he's going to have some surgery on that meniscus or some sort of structural repair on that meniscus this offseason, and you can't guarantee MVP-like performances for Embiid from this point going forward. Maybe he defies the odds and comes back and plays MVP-level basketball like Kevin Durant did for that one season in Brooklyn in 2021. But man, this is where the road comes to a close for guaranteeing health for an MVP. And it sucks because Embiid has been, for the last 3 years, one of the most enjoyable basketball players to watch. And in each of those, or I call it 4 years. In the last 4 years, Embiid has been one of the most enjoyable players to watch. From second place in the MVP in 21, second place in 22, won the MVP in 23, was on his way to winning the MVP this year. Joel Embiid has been a revelation. One of the three players to define a five-year era of basketball. This was the Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis generation, with Anthony Davis and Devin Booker kind of mixed in as well. That's the generation that we just got. It's coming to a close. We're in a transition period into Tatum, into Luka, into SGA, into Anthony Edwards. That's the next generation. The current generation of Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, those guys are slowly but steadily getting phased out. Not necessarily Jokic, because Jokic is still only 28, but Jokic and Tatum are about to duel it out for the transition, the bridge between the current era and the next generation of superstars like Luka and SGA and Anthony Edwards, who are about to be playing for Western Conference Finals every single year in the same kind of bloodbath that we've seen the last 5 years between Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia. That's coming in the next 2 years. 2 years from now, maybe Jokic still has a chance to be an MVP caliber player, but I guarantee you Embiid will not be top five in the MVP. Giannis will not be top five in the MVP. None of these guys are going to be still top of their game from this previous era. Not Anthony Davis, not Devin Booker, not none of those guys. It's going to be about the guys who are in their early to mid-20s now being the best players in the sport. And it's so interesting to watch that transition happen in real time, because the 76ers are now getting ready to pivot around Joel Embiid, who is no longer this singularly great MVP type of player. History says when he has a major knee procedure in his early 30s, that's about when the MVP level play is going to start to slow down. He's still going to be a top five player in the league, but he's not going to be necessarily considered for these MVP type of awards, because it's just such a strain on the body to go 82 games for a decade straight and now coming off of a major knee injury. It's just not going to happen. And they got to really hit on whoever the next person is going to be that they want to put as the number two around Joel Embiid, because it's their last chance to try and win. And granted, Embiid can also take some initiative into his own hands, find himself a better number two than anything the Sixers can build for him. But the one thing that's been interesting about this generation of superstars, i.e., the five players that we just mentioned who encompass the Giannis generation, the Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker generation. What's interesting about this generation is we're about a decade into all of their careers, and all four of them are playing, or four of the five of them are playing for the same team that drafted them. When you talk about Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, and Devin Booker, and Anthony Davis has now been with the Lakers for equally as long as he was with the Pelicans. I know it doesn't feel that way, but after this season, Anthony Davis has been playing for the Los Angeles Lakers for the same amount of time that he was playing for the New Orleans Pelicans. And that's not quite true. He spent 7 years in New Orleans. This is year 5 in Los Angeles. So not quite true, but This is year five for Anthony Davis in Los Angeles, and he will in 2 years. I got that wrong. That's my apologies. But the four of the five players have all played for the same team. And Anthony Davis, by the way, by taking initiative into his own hands, was rightfully rewarded, because his push to Los Angeles absolutely was worth it. Why was it worth it? He was the best player on a team that won an NBA championship. That would have never, ever, ever happened in New Orleans. And so now you got a whole, like, maybe Embiid looks up and finally says, writing on the wall, let's go pair up with a Jimmy Butler, our homie again. Let's see if this Jimmy Butler and Jaime Jaquez and homies in Miami can help us win. Or let me go pair up with, I don't even know who it would be. Yeah, he wouldn't go to Minnesota. He wouldn't go to Dallas. I just, you know, maybe he looks up and says, maybe we can find a better running mate than convincing Paul George to come to Philadelphia. But for the most part, like, Joel Embiid's been steadfast, and like, even as he's had five different co-running mates in the last 6 years, he's still looking up and like, yep, I am Philadelphia through and through. I will remain a 76er, and I have no intention of leaving the 76ers, despite the fact that the 76ers have been a predominant reason for why Joel Embiid has been consistently the fourth best team. The 76ers with Joel Embiid have been consistently the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference, despite the fact that they have a player who has never been less than a top three player in the Eastern Conference at any point in this six-year run. That's a failure of organization. That's a failure of his number twos. That's a failure of front offices and coaches. That is an organizational letdown of Joel Embiid. And I know Joel Embiid has had some playoff collapses, but fundamentally, when you look back at the 6 years at large, that's a failure of organization to not have a winning team around that dude at any, to not even fall ass backwards into an Eastern Conference Finals. Like, when he's consistently been a top three player in the East for six consecutive seasons, sometimes you just happen to fall ass backwards into the Eastern Conference Finals, like the fucking Hawks did this last year, or like the Lakers did last year, because Anthony Davis was singularly great for two playoff series and the Lakers ended up making it to the conference finals last year. Sometimes you just fall into making a conference finals when you have a singularly great player like Joel Embiid. And it's remarkable that they still, despite having all the changes, three different general managers, three different coaches, five different running mates in 6 years, and they still can't fucking break through. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping in here to the Take It Easy podcast. We have episodes coming at you every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, as well as special Wired Up episodes sprinkled in throughout the weekends, which you guys should just subscribe to, download if you see them. Maybe you'll find something you like in the Wired Up episodes, but the best way to make sure when Wired Up comes out, follow, download, leave 5-star reviews. All of those things are all greatly appreciated, but following is the most important way to get up to date on all of our news and information here on the podcast. We will talk to you again tomorrow, as well as a special draft show Friday morning. In the meantime, take it easy.